I'm going to talk this morning on what could be entitled the greatest secret to leadership in the world. The greatest secret to leadership in the world. I'm going to tell you this morning, many of you, why your children won't obey you. And I'm going to tell you why many of you, if class, Sunday school class, won't listen to you. And I'm going to teach you this morning, many of you, why your schoolroom is unruly. And why that little sphere of fellowship that God has given to you, and that little area of leadership that God has given to you, is crumbling. I'm going to show you this reason this morning why leadership in America is almost historical. Brother, this nation is bereft for leadership. I mean, when a presidential candidate chooses a running mate not on the basis of whether he or she is the best qualified person, but on the basis of where she lives, or what gender the person is, or how many more votes it'll get for him, it's a sad day in the life of our nation. I have met many of the great leaders of state in this nation. I have met very few of them who are great leaders. That's the truth. I've sat on planes beside senators. When I finish talking with them, I tremble at the condition of this country. I sat beside a senator on an airplane, talked to him 2 hours not long ago, and when we got to our destination, I said to myself, if that's one of the 100 best leaders in this nation, we haven't got any hope at all. But that isn't all. Are you listening? Are you listening? The breakdown of leadership at the top is caused by the breakdown of leadership at the bottom. For those who are at the top were chosen by those of us at the bottom to be at the top. And we have no place to choose. If you do have a leader that comes on the scene, like a Vince Lombardi, the liberal press tramples on his memory. Or if a J. Edgar Hoover never arises on the scene, and a leader, he's helpless to come back and defend himself from those who can do nothing, so they had the right. You can do, you can't be a reporter. Tell what others do. But the truth is, our leadership, I'm in churches. You know, preachers call me every week and say my folks won't follow. It's the same old story. I've told it time and time again. You have too. The fellow, the soldier, called the commanding officer in the battle and said, a captured prisoner. And the commanding officer said, bring him in. And the soldier said, he won't come. And the commanding officer said, come back yourself. He said, the prisoner won't let me. And most of our pastors are leading that way. And most of our principals are leading that way. And most of our leaders of state are leading that way. Now, if you listen to me this morning, I will help you be a better mother and a better father. I will help you be a better Sunday school teacher. I will help you be a better school teacher or principal or a pastor. You see, every person is in some way a leader. You may be this morning a leader of a college, like Dr. Evans is a president of a college. You may be like your pastor, a pastor of a church, and that may be your sphere of leadership. You may be a teacher in a Christian school or a Sunday school teacher leading a few boys and girls. You may be a choir leader or a foreman of the job, or a mom or a dad leading children. You may be a bus captain. Or it just may be that you may have no title of leadership, but you have that little group of that little area of influence in your life. Somebody looks to you as their leader. And there's not a person this morning in this room who's over 18 years of age or over, but one who has a little sphere of leadership. And most of us are failing in our leadership. 90% of this failure is caused by one thing. And I'm going to share with you what 90% of the failure in leadership is caused by. Our text this morning says this. Don't read it. Don't look at it. Just listen to it. I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Boy, that's a heap of scripture. I also, said this centurion to the master, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now, what he's saying is this. He's saying the fact that I'm under authority gives me the right to be authority. He didn't say, I am a man who has great authority, having soldiers under me. No, sir. He said, I am a man under great authority. I am under authority. And because I am under authority, I am authority over somebody else. Now, I want to say three things this morning about this. And brother, this is worth listening to. In the first place, everyone is supposed to be under authority. Anytime anybody arises away or goes away from being under authority, you got a Jim Jones possibility. You got a hippie possibility. You got a youth revolution possibility. This thing of everybody doing his own thing forfeits. The man who does his own thing will not have anybody doing his thing. For if you do not submit yourself to the authority over you, you are spreading a breakdown of authority by your teaching. And those who follow you will not be in submission to you because they're following you and you're saying no submission. So if you by your manner of life, are you listening? If you by your manner of life do not submit yourself to those over you, you have forfeited your right to have any power or authority over anybody else. There is no top or bottom. You hear me? I said there's no top or bottom. Now follow me carefully. The top is over the bottom, and the bottom is over the top. When you rise to the top, you have risen to touch bottom. Let me illustrate. Explain. The masses are under a leader. Who is under a leader? Who is under a leader? Who is under a leader? Who is under the leader? Who is under the masses? You see, I'm responsible, here now, I'm responsible as pastor of this church to no one of you. I am responsible to all of you collectively. No one of you, I'll not be responsible to any one of you because I'm pastor of this church. But all of you can get together today and vote me out. Now, I wouldn't suggest you do it till we get a little bit out of debt. I'd wait a few years if I were you. There's a heap of bills to pay. That's one reason I made the big debt, so I can stay. Now, you see what I'm trying to say? There's no law of the land but the law of public opinion. Public opinion will change if it's to change any law. So, somebody says, well, are you saying the leader is under the follower? Not saying that at all. I'm saying the leader is under the followers. So you start at the bottom. Here's the bottom. And you have one over and somebody over him, 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 And he has nobody over him. He has everybody over him. Ask Mr. Nixon about that. Mr. Nixon rose to the highest office in the land, and the land put him out of the highest office. Being responsible to one follower is anarchy. Being responsible to all followers is democracy. There is no single ultimate authority except the authority of all of us who are over the one who has risen above the rest of us. Number two, not only is everyone to be under authority, now listen to me, the reason that some of you folks, your kids, won't obey you is right here in this sermon. And the reason some of you, your children, are breaking your heart is right here in this sermon. And the reason some of you have classes in school that obey you, and some have classes that are a bedlam of confusion, is right here in this sermon. And the reason some of you, a while ago, taught a Sunday school class, didn't hear a word you said, and others taught classes who sat there and listened to you. And by the way, the same class that'll give somebody a hectic bedlam 1 year will set up like little angels the next year and listen to another teacher. And brother, it's right in this, and you'd do good to punch yourself in the cheek and wake yourself up for a change and hear what God's man is saying. You've got a sphere of leadership. You need to know. Listen to me. Number two, we earn our right to leadership by right fellowship. Now listen, one little word here is very interesting. This centurion came to Christ, and the centurion said, he didn't say, I am a man under authority. He said, I also am a man under authority. What was he saying? He was saying to Jesus, the Son of God, he was saying, you, I see, are under authority. I also am under authority. And brother, if the Son of God, the darling of heaven, the virgin born, perfect, sinless, Christ of Christ and King of kings and Lord of lords, if he was under authority, you little 16-year-old, 17, 18-year-old teenagers, you have no right to be out under authority either. This centurion said, I also am under authority. These little pipsqueak college students run around this country saying, oh boy, we know more than the government does. Somebody ought to grab those little old folks and shake them and say, listen to me. Nobody has a right to be out from under authority. And in case you want authority, you're going to have to be under authority. Jesus said, hear me now. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was a subject. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, was in submission and under submission. He who was the ruler of the world said, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to accomplish his work. I do nothing of myself. I want to tell you something. This is the reason some children don't follow their parents. Because their parents don't follow their authority. And brother, if you don't follow your authority, you're saying to your child, I don't believe in following authority. So the child will say, Mama, I guess, is not under authority. And Daddy, I guess, is not under authority. So the child looks at Mom and Daddy and says, they criticize the preacher, and they criticize the college that the son attends, and they criticize the principal that's over the son at the school, and they criticize the teacher, and the child says, well, Mom and Dad are not under authority. I guess authority isn't good. But ladies and gentlemen, authority is necessary for the moral fiber of a society. And what the soldier was saying, his centurion was saying, he said, I have 100 men under me. He said, I am a man under authority. having soldiers under me. He said, I say, you go, he goes. I say, you stop, he stops. You turn around, the rear, march. He marches the rear. Forward, march. He marches forward. Right face, left face, column right, column left. He said, I have soldiers under me. If I say go, they go. I say come. Listen to me. I say come, they come. But he said, first, I also am under great authority. And the reason that some, listen, you give me a school teacher who criticizes the board, and I'll give you a school teacher whose followers will not follow him or her. You give me a principal who criticizes the superintendent or the pastor or the church or the board, and I'll give you a superintendent whose principals won't follow him. You give me a Sunday school teacher. I'm not talking about the students hearing it. I'm talking about God Almighty will not allow you to have fellowship until you are fellowship. He won't do it. You better listen to me. Your family's at stake. Your kids are at stake. Your children are at stake. Your job's at stake. I am a man, also am under great authority, and having soldiers under me. I want every teenager in this house to listen to me. Everybody in this house is a teenager. As sure as God be God. Some of you teenagers are going to have broken hearts someday because your children are going to break your hearts. And don't you think for a minute that God Almighty is going to allow you to be rebellious against mom and dad and against the principal and the teacher and authority without someday God's going to give you the same kind of children you are. And one day your pillow will be moist with a broken, with tears flowing from a heart that's broken and a back that's bent. And a life that's wrecked and dreams that are broken. Why? Why? Because today, on August 5th, 1984, you sit there, you argue with your mom, you argue with your dad, you disobey your mom and your dad. And I want to stand here, if there's a God in heaven, and if one word in this book is true, young people, you had better buy yourself a good supply of handkerchiefs and Kleenexes, because you are going to have children who will break your heart someday. My mama's here this morning. Mama's not well, and she has to be propped up here on somebody's shoulder. She's 96 years of age, but my sister can testify with this. This is a God's truth. I've never one time in 58 years, disobeyed my mama. Never have. Not once. Not once. I never said, Mama, not now. I never said, Mama, I don't want to. Now, God here, listen. If there's a preacher alive today who has people who are kind to him and thoughtful of him, it's the preacher you're hearing right now. If there's a preacher alive today who has a staff who's loyal to him and loves him and works for him, it's the preacher to whom you're listening right now. And you hear me say this, I earned it. I earned it. I also am a man under authority, having staff members under me. I also am a man under authority, and you have no right in this world to lead until you follow. And I'm not thinking right now about following and then you change to a leader. I'm talking about following at the same time you are a leader. This man said, I also am under great authority, having soldiers under me. Every leader is to say, I have under my authority, and I bind and bend myself to authority over me. I sit on a throne, and I bow to a throne. I wield a scepter, and I obey a scepter. I rule, and I am ruled. I lead, and I submit. And I am responsible to a ruler for my rule. And to whatever degree you submit, you've earned your right to lead. I said in the first place, everyone is to be under authority. I said in the second place, we earn our right to leadership by right fellowship. Number three, and this is the sermon. We earn the right, I hear this statement, hear it carefully. We earn the right to lead by leading our followers to follow our leader. Let me say it again. We earn the right to lead by leading our followers to follow our leader. He was responsible for the soldiers under him to the state to which he himself was submitted. And if he led those 100 soldiers under him away from those over him, he would have lost his rank, lost his leadership, and would not have been a leader. Let me hear this for a minute. That's why our presidents are flopping, and that's why they'll keep on flopping, and I'll guarantee you Mr. Reagan's not going to make a good president, and Mr. Mondale's not either. And Ms. Ferraro ain't neither. But I'm going to tell you why Mr. Reagan is not a good president. Because Mr. Reagan is not submissive to the authority over him. He's not taken this country and said, country, somebody's over me, and that's my God. Come, followers, and let me deliver you to my God. And until he decides to go to church, now I'm not talking about an Episcopalian or a Catholic, I'm not talking about a liberal church, I'm talking about a Bible-preaching church, and bows his own knee, he will not have a nation who will bow to him its knee. And that's why Mr. Mondale's not going to do it. That's why Mr. Carter couldn't do it. Listen, it's not enough to say there's a God. It is only enough for the leader of this country to bow himself before this book right here. He gets on it. He gets on his knees. He bows himself to the book and the God of this book and says, if it's true, I believe it, and God is my God, and I follow Him, and He's my leader. And He turns to these millions of Americans and says to us, come, followers, I also am under authority. I also am under authority. And as Mr. Reagan, or Mr. Mondale, or Mr. Carter, or Mr. Kennedy, or Mr. Ford, anybody else, bows himself to his authority, and delivers his followers to his leader, only then will he have loyal followers. I want to hear me carefully. He did not say, I have submitted, now it's my turn to lead. Didn't say that. Nor did he say, I have two sides of me. I follow, that's one side. I lead, that's the other side. He didn't say that. He said, I am one person, and I lead my followers to my leader. It's all one picture. In this pulpit, I am to lead you to my authority. And by the way, for 25 years, I've done that. I am to lead you to my authority. The greatest, him and out, the greatest leaders on the staff of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, are those men who take their followers and deliver them to this preacher. That's a perfect example right there. Dr. Evans, I think, is the greatest college educator alive today. I think he's the most knowledgeable man alive in the Christian education field. Dr. Wendell Evans leads Hiles Anderson College. Now, he leads that college. I'll guarantee you one thing. I can walk down a hall with that college, and I'm a hero. And Dr. Evans says, check with the preacher. Now, why is he a leader? Because the most necessary qualification to leadership is fellowship. I am also under authority. I also am under authority. Say it, teenager. I also am under authority. Say it, college student. I also am under authority. Say it, hippie. I also am under authority. Say it, anarchist. I also am under authority. I also am under authority. Nobody in this world ever rises to a place
to where he's not answerable to somebody. That's why I give you a treasury report. I'm under authority. Not to any of you, but to all of you. Not to each of you, but to a collection of all of you. I'm under authority. I'm under authority to show you where your money goes. I'm under authority to lead you to my leader. And this man who said, I also am under authority, having soldiers unto me, was saying, in one packet, in one step, he said, my job is to lead those men, but I lead those men where I follow. And if I don't follow, I forfeit the right to lead those men. I'm going to tell you something. Look, I have no worries about this. I don't ever lose one wink of sleep worrying about a church that doesn't follow the preacher, love the preacher. So I'm not trying to gain something for myself. But I'll guarantee it's time for the sake of your children that some of you moms and dads learn to shut up. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about your kids. God is not going to let your kids obey you till you obey authority. The Lord Jesus said, come and follow me. And as we turned to follow him, he said, I'm following somebody too. We'll all get together and follow him. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to do his works. That's my meat. That's why I'm here. Come on. I am under authority. Let me illustrate. The writer of Proverbs said that the greatest person in the world is he that conquers his own spirit. Hear me. Said, greater is he that rules his own spirit than he that rules a city or conquers a city. You know why some of you don't have any followers? Because you don't even follow your own will. Your appetites have conquered your will. You don't follow your will. You can't even lead yourself. Nobody will follow somebody who can't even follow himself, his own will. Illustration. That's why a country that's not Christian, hear me carefully, a country that is not Christian will decay. Why? Hear me carefully. Because the great authority of the universe is Jehovah God as revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. And when a nation of people will not bow themselves to that great authority, then they have no right to be over anybody else, and they will not have folks submit to them. And that's why you can't have a great nation that lingers unless it's a Christian nation. It'll crumble. Look at the empires of the world. Look at them. And until a nation looks up to his God and says, I also am under authority. And the parents of that nation cannot look to their children and say, you be under my authority. Because your union card and credentials, your credentials for leadership are stamped by your submission to your authority. That's one reason our colleges are destroying our nation. I got a letter the other day from a fellow up in Canada. He wrote and said, didn't like the youth conference. Said, you said some things you shouldn't have said. Said one thing, you said you'd rather your children not read and write than go to a heathen university. Well, let me just say again what I shouldn't say. If it be treason, you make the most of it. I'd rather my children never read or write than go to a pagan heathen university. I don't buy this stuff as Christians are sort of second-rate people and fundamentally second-rate people, and the more liberal you get, the more cultured you are. I don't buy this stuff at all. But our colleges are training our kids, do your own thing. No, sir! Submit! Or in submitting, you earn your right to lead. Our young people are being shipped out of these universities. Look at sometimes go to one of them or watch on television one of their graduation exercises. And watch how rebellious they are. Watch how they act when they go. Like one gal, she took off her cap and gown and revealed she only had a halter and shorts on. You know why she did that? Because the leadership in the college had not submitted itself to its leadership. Thereby, she will not submit herself to college leadership. And thereby, her kids will break her heart some of these days because she has not earned the right with credentials to have fellowship because she has not yet submitted herself as a follower. And this nation's crumbling because of it. That's why you folks aren't saved this morning. You won't lead. No way, you won't lead. Why? Because you're not a follower. You are not under authority, and so you will not be authority. You will only have the kind of followers that you are. Everything produces after its own kind, and it's time. Listen, a lot of you folks want it. You're fundamental people. You believe this book, believe in heaven, hell, salvation, new birth. You don't dance, drink, smoke, dip, chew tobacco, go to movies. I mean, you're as fundamental as you can be. But the truth is, you're leading your children. Have no confidence in this man right here. Or this man right here. Or this man right here. I'll guarantee you. When you break down your children's confidence and authority, don't forget this, Buster. You're an authority too. And brother, when his respect is broken, you won't get your respect either. Listen, people are disrespectful for authority because their respecter is broken. You can't choose what authority you follow. Because when you quit following, your follower is broken, your respecter is broken, and it will not be able to be used toward mom and dad. I'm talking to some school teachers right now. If you would get this tape this morning and play it over and over and over again, it would multiply the order and discipline in your classroom this year. I'm talking to some Sunday school teachers, but this morning, if you'd get this tape and play it over and over and over and over again, it would multiply the effectiveness of your teaching and the behavior and deportment of your class. I am a man, I also am a man under authority. And I have soldiers under me. I am a man under authority. And I have staff members under me. I am a man under authority. And I have children under me. And even the blessed Son of God was placed in the same bundle. Even perfect feet that became dusty by Galilee shores. Even perfect hands that became weary because of human wrapping. Even a perfect mind clothed in human flesh. As long as he came to earth, he was under authority. And that's why he got the fish and got the coin out of his mouth and paid his taxes. And he stands today at the right, sits today at the right hand of the Father and will stand someday as the King of this world, having earned his right to rule because he went to Gethsemane and said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Father, bless the Spirit.